Can you show me where the jazz section is?
Coming to you from his downtown Denver studio, here is the Backstage Jazz Show with your host, Steve Roby.
Hello and welcome to the Backstage Jazz Show. I'm your host, Steve Roby. My guest today is Boulder-based jazz vocalist Jocelyn Medina. She joins me to discuss her music and upcoming show at Dazzle on March 6th. Welcome to Backstage Jazz, Jocelyn.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Stephen.
So glad you could be here. Why don't we start with a brief bio of your musical career?
Sure. So I'm originally from a small town in upstate New York and grew up always singing in choirs and so forth and kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. I spent a couple years studying classical music at Stanford University, but then decided that really that wasn't the right box for me, or that was a box, and I wanted to do more jazz. So I transferred to Berklee College of Music and studied with some amazing folks there and kind of got my feet wet in jazz and vocal jazz and composing and so forth. I lived in Spain for 4 years after Berklee, when most of my colleagues moved to New York, and I said, ugh, I couldn't possibly move to New York. It's too big and overwhelming. And I lived in Madrid for 4 years and made some great friends and made my first album and lots of wonderful connections, and then decided I wanted to do my master's and came back to the States and ended up in New York, going to Manhattan School of Music, where I also studied with some amazing folks. Kind of geared there, study with a wonderful Brazilian jazz singer named Luciana Sosa, who now lives in Los Angeles. She was a colleague of another teacher of mine, Lisa Thorson, at Berklee, who really told me that's the place to go. And I was starting to get into more Brazilian jazz as well when I went to kind of seek Luciana out. So I came to study in New York and stayed. I didn't intend to stay quite so long, but I ended up staying in New York for 16 years.
Wow.
Where, again, met beautiful humans, made lots of great music and good friends. In the meantime, I got a little deeper into some different styles of music. During college, I spent a summer studying traditional Ghanaian music in Ghana, traditional Ghanaian percussion. So in New York, I played with a group called the Rhythm Monsters, led by another great friend and teacher, Robert Levin. And so I played traditional African drums for all my time there. I spent 6 months in Mumbai, in India, where I was the head of their vocal jazz program that they, the brand new school in India, kind of the first of its type that was fostered by Manhattan School of Music. So then I got really inspired and into Indian music, which then all of these conglomerations is sort of I am now. I cross over into different world music styles, sort of with jazz at the core.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what got me interested eventually. What got me here to Colorado was I'd come and visited wanting to get out of New York, but, you know, I didn't think I could possibly peel myself away from that scene after so long. And came and visited Colorado a few different times and played with amazing musicians here and thought, oh my goodness, the mountains and all this, and it's just so wonderful, and I wonder if I could ever do that, including there's a really rich Brazilian jazz scene here, and I played with a few of the folks that are my current bandmates on a visit here in 2019 and went back to New York and said, oh, now I really love to move to Colorado, applying for all the jobs I could. And then COVID happened.
Oh, yeah.
And everything came to a screeching halt. And I had to kind of reconsider where life was going. Mm-hmm. And so moved in with my parents in upstate New York and thought about things and still paying rent in Brooklyn, wondering where I'm going to go. And I thought, well, you know, the seems like the universe is telling me to go to the most beautiful place where I know there's these great music connections and wonderful people. And that's what brought me out here in 2021.
So glad you're here. You touched on a few, but who were some of your other musical inspirations and mentors?
I've had a lot of great mentors. I'd say kind of the artists that have inspired me, probably top of my list would be Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter. for a myriad of reasons, for music and for spirituality and just humanistic purposes. Herbie was kind of how I got into jazz, listening to improv rock. I was a Grateful Dead fan and sort of found Herbie and then went backwards from that to Miles Davis and so forth.
Wow.
So Herbie and Wayne, really good early influences. And vocally, you know, all the greats, Betty Carter and Ella Fitzgerald. I'm a huge fan of Joni Mitchell, who influenced my songwriting a lot. And probably instrumentally, Kenny Wheeler is really up there too, in terms of jazz composers. And then there's, of course, more than a handful of Brazilian artists that have been very influential, like Elis Regina, and I'm a diehard Javan fan, amongst others. I've also had a lot of wonderful teachers. I'm a teacher and a professor myself. I teach now at CU Denver and taught at various colleges around New York and so forth. So I feel like I'm a great teacher because I had great teachers like Luciana Sosa and Theo Blackman, another wonderful jazz vocalist in New York. Studied with an incredible singer in Mumbai named Tulika Ghosh, who's a wonderful Hindustani classical singer. And my vocal mentor in kind of on the vocal side, the pedagogical and technical side, is a fabulous woman named Jeannie Levetri, who's the founder of a method of vocal pedagogy called somatic voice work. That's kind of mind, body, the whole system in a really beautiful way. And she's a big influence on my life still. I teach on her faculty as well. These teachers, I mean, everyone, appreciate your teachers because they still continue to inspire me.
What a diverse collection of music and different styles and genres. God, what a life you've had so far. Amazing.
It's been fun.
Let's talk about this new album you're working on that you're going to record in Rio de Janeiro. What can you tell our listeners about this?
I've been a huge fan of Brazilian music. I lived in Madrid after college. I became friends with a lot of Brazilians, and I'd already kind of been exposed to it in my undergrad. So when I first moved to New York, I think it was my first summer after a year there, I went to Brazil for about 6 weeks and just took a deep dive and just loved it. I didn't want to come back. I was in Salvador and Rio mostly and have some good friends there. So sort of since then, that's been a growing part of the music that brings me a lot of joy and inspiration. And I speak Spanish, don't speak Portuguese, but it's been something that's been in my spirit for a long time. And I'd say that during COVID, I played with a Brazilian jazz project for many years in New York, never really thinking I couldn't put this on record because I'm an American gringo. And this is, you know, something that would be beyond me to put down in the studio. But during COVID, when we all had all that time indoors, I did some exchanges with Brazilian friends of mine, kind of exchanging Portuguese and working on the Portuguese lyrics and pronunciations in exchange for singing and other things. And I started to think, like, you know, I'd really like to document this and to go deeper. And then when I moved to Colorado, I got wind of something put on by the Boulder County of the Arts called Pathways to Jazz. It's a recording grant. And my bandmates here, folks that I'm playing with now, Bill Copper and Bill McCrossin, mm-hmm. and Drew Heller, had all been recipients of this grant. Right. So I applied and I received it. And then I freaked out and I said, I'm not ready for this. I can't possibly go into the studio and record these beautiful Brazilian songs and sing them in Portuguese. So I put it off and they gave me an extension. And finally, last year, I said, I can't put this off anymore. So I went to Brazil last summer, trying to just kind of go deeper, get a hold on the language and get the music, you know, the most authentic way in my ears. And then came back. And so now it's time.
All right.
At last. So I'm going to Brazil for a couple of weeks in March, just a couple of days after the Dazzle show, actually.
Ah, okay.
And I'm not going to record the whole album there, but I'm going to do about five tunes with a band in Rio. And Cliff Corman is he's actually an American pianist who I studied with at Manhattan School of Music, who's based in Rio and has been there for many decades and is connecting me with fabulous folks. Some of the guys that I played with this past summer when I was visiting. So that's the current project.
Well, keep us posted and we'll have you back on the show and we can play some new music. Speaking of music, you sent over a couple of tracks to share with our listeners. The first track we're going to listen to is a song called Common Ground. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so Common Ground was the title of my my last album. It's my third album, an album called The Journey Begun in 2005 in Madrid, and an album called We Are Water in 2010 in New York. Has a little bit more of the Brazilian eclectic influences. Common Ground is the title track of the third record, which is very, very influenced by Indian music, among other things, Indian and African. So on this track is kind of everyone in my band. Then there's a wonderful flute player, Israeli flute player who specializes in a lot of Brazilian music named Hadar Neuberg. She's on the track, and a great rhythm section of Evan Greger on the bass and Pete McCann on the guitar. Art Hirahara on the piano. Those are all kind of hard guys to get to. Pete's on tour with Manhattan Transfer. They're all over the place. Mm. So it was wonderful to get them all together. Robert Levin, who's the leader of the West African group I was in New York, and also my teacher, is on there. Samir Chatterjee is a tabla master, was also a teacher of mine. And then also a bansuri flute player named Steve Gorn. So it's a big party. And it begins kind of with a intro inspired by Herbie Hancock's Watermelon Man, kind of things layered in, and builds from there. And it's the lyrics are about kind of seeing the things that we have in common rather than the things that divide us.
Good, good. Well, let's listen to it now. This is Common Ground by Jocelyn Medina, and you're listening to Backstage Jazz.
Bothers me with all his pious views. We disagree and despite each other with our stubborn attitudes. Must we always be right or off to the left? There's more than black and white, more than one way to be correct. Judgment from mother's Catholic background can be tough to take. We pray in different ways, purvey the power of faith. Practice what you preach and respect each life. Heaven's here within reach if we recognize. When I open my eyes and look around, I see the beautiful things blooming up from our common ground. Every seed may develop differently. Each holds potential the same. Two grow stronger, two belong and stake equal claim. Thank you. the same water, my neighbor, but there's a language gap and such disorder over borders. Who's arranging the map? Dialogue and open doors, talking heart to heart. Each exchange of spoken word can unlock what sets us apart. Dig and discover we're all cousins, once or twice removed. Trace our relations generations back to a common root, where each branch of humanity intersects. Is a universal place we can connect. When I open my eyes and look around, I see the beautiful things blooming upon our common
Backstage Jazz, and my guest today is jazz vocalist Jocelyn Medina, and we're going to play another track, Jocelyn. This one's called Two, But Not Two. Tell me about this one.
So this is also on my last album, Common Ground, and a lot of different influences on this one. The inspiration for the song is a Buddhist concept of sort of the duality of all things, the idea that we are connected to everything around us and the people around us, and influenced by the, you know, hurt and the joys of everyone in humanity, and connected to people that are far away or our relatives in different planes of existence. And so it's not a purely Buddhist concept, but that was the inspiration. Joining me on this one are all the folks, a lot of the folks that were on the track Common Ground, but also a wonderful Hindustani vocalist named Ashut Joshi, another good friend of mine who's based in New York. So there's a little bit of a vocal duet here and there as well.
Let's listen to it now. This is Two But Not Two by Jocelyn Medina.
We are two but not two, but not two, but not two. We are two but not two. Between me and you, from complications of relations comes a simple truth. My happiness rides on both union and divide, joy that's absolute when we're together and on separate sides. Sweet Amrita rains down immortal medicine to quench the ground.
Be at peace when our time ends,
the next transcendental land of eternal light, where no sea or sky separates us from being one. Am I just one singular force, or am I more? We are two but not two, oneness between me and you, from complications of comes a simple truth. My happiness rides on both union and divide, joy that's absolute when we're together and on separate sides.
Life exists long before birth, as seeds lie
latent neath the garden earth. Mother's green thumb dings deep,
yeah.
we came, we will return once more to learn. We are to reply to oneness between me and you. From complications of relations comes a simple truth. My happiness rides on both union and divide. Joy that's absolute when we're together and on separate sides.
My guest today on Backstage Jazz is Jocelyn Medina. Let's talk about your upcoming show on March 6th. Who's joining you on stage and what can fans look forward to?
Yeah, so I'm going to be with three of my favorite musicians, local musicians, Bill Copper on the guitar, Bill McCrossin on the bass, and Drew Heller on the drums. And the concert's going to be a conglomeration of a lot of Brazilian material that I'm going to be recording in Rio right after that. And some arrangements, couple jazz tunes. It won't be what you expect, that have sort of been rearranged in there. And some of my originals, some new ones, and probably one or two old ones. Then one of the new ones is one about my cat who is sitting here purring. So if this recording includes some cat purring, it's because she must know that my cat Bendita must know that talking about her.
All right. Well, hello to the cat. Before I let you go, where can I send our listeners to discover more of your music?
I have a website. It's jocelynmedina.com, just my name.com. That's probably the most direct place to go. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and you can buy my music digitally on all the places, on Amazon and Apple Music. And I might be on Spotify. I think probably one of those programs stuck me on there, but all the digital places you can find me as well.
And I'll put some links to those platforms in the show notes for this podcast. And a reminder to our listeners, the Jocelyn Medina Brazilian Band will perform at Dazzle on Wednesday, March 6th for a 6:30 p.m. show. Doors open at 5:30, and you can find tickets and more info at dazzledenver.com. Hey, thanks for stopping by the show today, Jocelyn. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephen. Really appreciate that, too.
If you're enjoying the Backstage Jazz Show, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And now, back to the show.
The Backstage Jazz Show was recorded at Little Raven Studios in downtown Denver, and our producer was Craig Stevens. You can find Backstage Jazz wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to stop by our website, backstage-jazz.com, where all past and current episodes have been archived. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at backstagejazz@fastmail.com. This is Steve Roby. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Backstage Jazz.
You've been listening to the Backstage Jazz Show. Join us next time for more great jazz and interviews with your favorite musicians.